The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But when they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he bent down and wrote on the ground. And in response, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." The Gospel of the Lord. One of the great questions of the gospel that will live throughout the centuries is, what exactly was Jesus writing? Then, you know, they tell you that if you want to communicate your mission to somebody, you have to have what they call an elevator speech. It means you have to be able to communicate to people who you are and what you're up to within about 90 seconds, because that's as long as you're going to have somebody on an elevator. I've been trying to get our eighth graders to come up with an elevator speech to explain who they are as Catholics. Usually it comes down to a text similar to the memorial acclamation that you proclaim at Mass every day at the time of the consecration, where we proclaim that Jesus Christ became a man, he died for our sins, he rose from the dead, and we now live as his resurrected body. Of course, that elevator speech wasn't ready yet. At the time, Jesus was still preparing the world for that death and resurrection that was about to come. So what in the world would Jesus have been writing on the ground? I think that if it were me, and of course I don't know the mind of Jesus, but if it were me, I would be spending this moment where they've brought the woman into his presence, giving all of them the same message, including the woman. And this is what I think I would write. If real change is possible for you, then real salvation is available to you at this very moment and at every moment. If real change is possible for you, then real salvation is available to you at this moment and at every moment. But you see, the people that were listening or were watching what Jesus was writing on the ground were people who had already set their hearts against him. And it would mean that they would have to accept the fact that they were wrong, what we call sin. They would have to accept the fact that Jesus was able to be merciful for that sinfulness, and that they would have to change their hearts. And these people had already decided against that. So looking at their pasts, the past can be a very difficult topic for most people, but looking at their pasts, one by one, they just walked away. So Jesus offers that same thing to the only person who's left, is the woman who was clearly caught in a serious sin. And he does what would be unthinkable to a person who is directed by justice and not by mercy. To a person who might not know the mercy of God, he says, "Neither do I condemn you. Go from now on. From now on, and do not sin anymore." He removes the burden of the past from her shoulders. It's a theme that's found in all the readings today. St. Paul says that everything in the past is a loss. I don't think he's thinking of terms like we think of the word loss. You know, like if you've invested your retirement in something and it's all gone, that's not what Paul's talking about, because he says, "I consider everything a loss." Well, everything is everything that you've known up until this moment, right? He's talking about loss in comparison to the word gain. He says, "I consider all things rubbish that I might gain Christ and be found in him." He says, resurrection from the dead is now. It's the moment now. It's not in the past. It's what's happening right now. And Paul says, "I continue my pursuit in the hope that I may possess it." Basically, forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead. We are placed at every moment in our lives at a crossroads, and this crossroads allows us to decide whether we're going to look back or whether we're going to realize where we are and look forward. The mercy of God allows us to look forward and not backward. At this particular moment, though, in this crossroads, and at every crossroads in your life, which basically is every moment of your life, the message is the same. If real change is possible for you, then real salvation is available to you at this very moment. That first reading is amazing, too. It says exactly the same thing. The Lord says, "Look what I've done. Through the sea, the chariots and the charioteers, with my strong hand, I have delivered you from all of your sinfulness. Remember not the things of the past," the Lord says. "See, I am doing something new." What is it new that he's doing? It's you and me. We're the new creation. "See, I'm doing something new. I'm making a river in the desert." We're the desert. "Wild animals honor me." We're the wild animals. We're the creation that God made to honor him. But we're the ones who have fallen back because of the sins of the past. "Remember not the things of the past," the Lord says in the first reading. "See, I am doing something new." It makes me think of those adults that are about to receive the sacrament of baptism. I'm always a little jealous of them, because at that moment of baptism, everything in the past is just gone. No matter what your life might have been like, that moment that you decide that you're going to be baptized into the Lord and into the life of the Blessed Trinity, all your sins are forgiven, all wiped out. How happy that person must be. Or think about the thief on the cross, having been a thief. I mean, we call him the good thief, right? There's still goodness in him, but the fact is he's a thief, and apparently he deserved to be dying there on that cross next to Jesus. But at that moment, Jesus' mercy is completely, completely overwhelming, whatever that past might have been for that man, because in that particular moment, right then, he's the luckiest guy on earth, isn't he? How lucky he is. The burden of his entire past is gone. There are people who get second chances, but all this isn't just for the lucky few, right? Jesus isn't selective. Or he doesn't say, "Well, I think I'm going to decide to give this to this person and not to these 500 people. His bread and his fish and everything, the bounty of his word and his sacrament is extended to all equally and completely. This moment, if real change is possible for you, then real salvation is available to you at this very moment. It's ironic, isn't it? When I was a kid, we used to sit down in front of the television and watch Billy Graham. This is what Billy Graham said every time he was on TV. "If you're willing to change, then the Lord will be in your life." Such a simple teaching. Forget the things of the past. enter into that reconciliation and that loving mercy of God and allow yourself to be changed by him. Salvation will be right there for you. We pray on this last Sunday before we come to Palm Sunday next week that this might sink, truly sink into our hearts. We might find ourselves in the midst of that loving mercy of God and recognize, like the woman who was standing in the midst of all those people unwilling to change, that Jesus says to each one of us, I do not condemn you, but now you must go forth from here and do not sin anymore. The burden of your past is over. Let us look forward to the life to come.